The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly interpreting the word of truth. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to bless our hearts with the truth of the gospel tonight in such a way that with all who hear will be armed with the gospel to be soldiers for Christ as we proclaim the abundant life that Christ offers to all who believe and abide in the word, so we may be effective soul winners in 2023. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved, our subject tonight is about evangelism, forgiveness, and sinless consistency. These topics are connected to a very popular subject that we all face, death. We all are born spiritually dead, and the death issue in at least two categories must be resolved tonight. If this is not resolved tonight, we have no hope. Jesus, I quote, said, "I came to give life, an abundant life." His word, the Bible, is the highest written authority of the universe, and we get to be a part of his plan. Let's mine his riches tonight in the greatest challenge, defining and applying truth to our life circumstances, so we avoid believing the lies of Diabolos. He's the deceiver. He's the author of lies. He's the one who has promoted my truth in America over the last 5 to 10 years at least. So that's the direction we're going this evening. One of my goals is for us to realize that we as believers need to be linked to a local church with a pastor that gives us face-to-face teaching so we can function as royal family the way we're designed to function. It's awfully easy. I mean, we all have seen the movie, the reruns now, The Lone Ranger. Whether it's in evangelism or in our ambassadorships, we're not lone rangers. We're part of a team that is designed to give support to one another. So, to begin the evening, I want to have us reflect on the things that we could ask God to give us to be more effective in evangelism. That we would seek people that God has out there who we can have an opportunity to have them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the way we live and by our willingness to interact with the unbelievers or believers, because at the time we have conversations with people, we don't know if the person is a believer or not. But the other thing we need to do, as most of you know, that I grew up in a sales family, and we knocked on a lot of doors. And how we conducted ourselves made a huge difference on whether we got in the door. So the third thing is We need to be willing to knock. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to knock on somebody's door, but we have to ask questions in the future that knocks on the door of their heart, so that the people that we come in contact with will be willing to listen to what we have to give them, which is the most priceless gift that anyone could give a person. So I encourage all of us to take the thoughts home this evening. Hopefully you'll get one or two good ideas that will take that enthusias, okay? Everybody knows what that word means? Inside of, thusias, theos, God. So God inside us. All of us here tonight know that we have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's the only way, the only reason why we can be a winner in the angelic conflict. So the song I'm going to sing is a song that my brother wrote while we were in college over 50 years ago. I think I was 19. So, ask and receive it, seek and you'll find, knock and God will open doors to real success. Confess your known sins, you will be cleansed. Only cleansed believers will be heard by God. And if our requests are according to God's will, He will grant the desire which we ask in Christ's name. Christian, believe it. God's word is true. Ask and you'll receive it. God will give to you. It's nice to have a brother who knew how to write some really sound music that has content to it. So, I may have to pause for a few seconds tonight. We'll have some technology that we need to link up with so we can look at the problem. But let's look at some things here. Continuing with last Wednesday, the precedent that Robert gave us, I ask that you listen carefully. The songs that I just sang and will be singing can be used for public use as long as they're not used for profit. So, of course, with anyone here at the church, these are one of many, many songs that I started singing from a small child. The first song I ever sang was "And Can It Be?" All four verses for memory, publicly in front of the church. I didn't understand probably much of what I was singing, and I was five. Today I understand it, but I can't remember all four verses. So, help me out tonight if I have a glitch. It is, it goes with the territory. The first thing that we want to remember is when we know we've sinned, let's get back in fellowship quick. But then the next question is, why do I have this besetting sin or this irritation that crops up? That the irritation is not a sin. The feeling is not a sin. The emotion may or may not be a sin, but we sure know as believers once we get to that point, and someone here who couldn't be here tonight, he's traveling, he said all of that can happen in less than 2 seconds, all the way from that to the next sin could be fear, worry, or anger, and it can all happen in less than 2 seconds. Do we agree? At least 5 or 10 seconds? And these are the things that we're up against because we as believers are on a battlefield. And once God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwelt us, we have no reason, no excuse not to be a winner in God's plan. Especially when we have a pastor like Pastor Bob, which may have been one of very few, if not the only pastor this last year in America, who taught straight through the Bible in 1 year so we could get an overview that maybe we've never had in such a way. I mean, some of us have heard of the walk through the Bible. Well, you can do that in 1 hour. But to explain the Bible like Pastor Bob did in 365 one-hour classes, this is something that we should proclaim across the country and around the world so other people can have the broad overview of it. And there's different ways of doing it. I'll let Pastor Bob have the final word on how people should do it, because it's a challenge to get through the Old Testament, probably for a new believer. Okay? So I've seen it done where they've used both, Old Testament, New Testament. So 2 for 1, 3 for 1, so that we have the encouragement of what we have in the New Testament as believers. So, as an ambassador, you must know the vocabulary and the message of your king. And he wants you to accurately communicate his message. As an ambassador, we have divine protection. As a believer walking in the Spirit, we have the divine protection that the unbeliever does not have. But if we're having impact for the cause of Christ by how we live our life, what we think, what we say, and what we do, then we're going to come under attack. And we've had way too many casualties in the angelic conflict among Christians today. I hear reports from overseas where they're suffering, like in Ukraine. They know what it's like to have death at their door. Now, we're all going to die, okay? There's going to be some that get to have a quick exit one day. But most people, historically, are going to die. So, these are the words that I encourage all believers to know the words, know the doctrine, and the word charis. Learn how to write it in Greek. It sort of gets people's attention. Grace. I had the privilege of 60 days and 8 visits in Washington, D.C. in 2019 and 2020. Grace cards, pamphlets, Grace Awakening book by Chuck Swindoll went out to almost 70, 80 people, key people in political places. And you have to go there. You got to find the right person to get something like a book or a message through the channels to where you want it to go. And it was a lot of fun. I met one gentleman, a black gentleman, who was in a wheelchair. And eventually I said, "How'd you get in the wheelchair?" He said, "Well, some two guys went running by and a gun went off." And I didn't know what happened, but I got a bullet in my spinal cord. I'm paralyzed from the waist down. And I asked him, I said, What's the number one problem in Washington, D.C.? Guess what his answer was? Sin. Okay. Now, you'll hear me use a different term for sin, because when you're in a public place talking to people, people are not going to only want their privacy. So if you can give a person their privacy in a public place, you can say something like this: the problem is NIS backwards. Okay? I use it in a lot of different settings, a lot of different types of phrases, and I pick and choose when I need to use it. But what it does make to do, makes the person do, is think backwards. And you'll watch them, you know, go, oh, sin? Yeah. That's, everybody agrees that's the number one problem. Now, I can go from sin to evil, but that is something that we won't be on that subject tonight. What I would like to show you, does everyone have a coin and a grace card or a gold card? Okay. Carol, you're going to do part one and part two. Would you be available for a moment? Okay. Now, you can be in casual conversation. You can be in a casual conversation with someone, and or you could do it very quickly. So whether we talk for a few minutes or whether it's short and sweet, I'd say, Carol, did you hear the good news?
About the weather?
No, they found the solution to the racism problem. No joke. They found it. What is it? It's right here. You ace racism only one way. There's only one way, and that's with grace. Grace, right? So when you take the G for God away from grace, what you got left?
Race.
Racism. Okay? So, that's it. We don't have to get complicated. We just need to get the message across, because the solution for America is not a man. It's the grace of God. There is no hope for America apart from the grace of God. It's just a matter of how long will God put up with what's going on in America. We all know there's a lot of sinning. There's also now a lot of evil that we haven't had. We used to have people who were unbelievers who had moral character, right? So, right here, it says what?
It says, ace racism with grace.
Right. Let's see if this will work. Okay. Ready?
Ace racism with grace.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Try it again. Okay.
Yeah, I can hear me, right?
You can hear? Good. Okay, you ace racism with grace. But what was the last word that Jesus said? Can you read it?
Tetelestai.
Tetelestai. Pastor Bob probably does it your way. Tetelestai. What is so unique about tetelestai? It's the last word that Jesus said on the cross. It even solves a lot of theological debates if a person translates the word properly, because back in the day when they had a debt, okay, when they had the debt paid 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, they stamped tetelestai. What does it mean? Debt paid in full. Okay, so the good news is this: nobody goes to hell for their sins, right? It's impossible, Mike, it's impossible for a person to go to hell for their sins when the judicial debt has already been paid for. Think about that as it relates to theology. The debt has been paid. I need my glasses, excuse me. Which means we have open access to God the Father by faith alone in the one who paid my debt, Who was that? Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, we all know that we celebrate him at Christmas and Easter, and there's many people in America that go to church 2 days out of the year, but they don't understand what happened at the cross. We need to start a tsunami across America with the word tetelestai. That people can say tetelestai. Because if I come up to you, Carol, and say, hey, did you hear that word tetelestai? It was on a big billboard out there on Highway 71 about a year ago. It was huge. It said tetelestai. But it means debt paid in full. Signed, Jesus. Now that's love, because what happened? God the Father took all the sins of the world and judged them on Jesus. And because of that, we can be free. And all of our friends out there that put their faith in Christ, one, they're born again. Two, they have a relationship not just with Jesus, not just with the Holy Spirit, but with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? Because God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwells every born-again believer in this dispensation at the moment they trust in Christ. Now, I can tell by the clock I'm going to have to really move and cut a lot of stuff out, but I'll save it for another time. And Carol, can you come back in just a couple of minutes? And thank you. One thing I would like to do is let you all know that on the back of the card is many websites. Most of the people on the back of this card are pastors. Two of them would be involved with being ambassadors to the youth of America. And that is Gary Horton and Big Rick, Rick Hughes. So they're wonderful with high school students. So if you have someone that you meet and they have high school students that are rebellious, probably send them to Gary Horton, okay? Gary is direct to the point. He went into over 9,000 public high schools in America for free. He didn't charge a dime for 30 to 40 years. Rick Hughes is more to those who, let's say, are new believers, but there's a crossover in the way these two guys function, and they're personal friends. They go way back. I got to meet Gary 50 years ago, and he was an Army Ranger. And in the last decade or two, I was able to meet Rick Hughes. So let's go on to the topic of sinless consistency. And I'm going to give you 7 points. I'm not going to put them up on the screen until maybe the end. So if you want to just take a few quick notes, this isn't too lengthy. There is a longer version if you would like to have it, which is several pages long. But I figured that this is sufficient for the moment. So sinless consistency is the condition of reflecting Christ's righteousness based on the control of divine truth in the soul through the filling of the Holy Spirit. The passages for that is Psalm 119:11, Galatians 5:16, 1 John 2:1. So point one, when God's word is allowed to govern your soul, a total protection is provided in all three areas of one's daily life. Proverbs 6:22. While you're asleep, when you wake up, and being awake. Now, the former pastor of the church here, Ralph Braun, that's where Bob and I have something in common in different decades. Ralph was my pastor in the 1970s and early 80s, and he was Bob's pastor in the 1990s. And Ralph taught a doctrine that was called morning and evening doctrines. The doctrines that we can cycle in our soul before we go to bed and upon waking up. Now, question. If we go to bed out of fellowship in a sinful state, what's our status when we wake up in the morning? Get it? If we go to bed out of fellowship, we're going to wake up out of fellowship. I don't know what kind of dreams you're going to have, but you know, it's just the reality. We don't confess our sins in our sleep, right? Okay, unless you wake up to it, and then it's a quick. Sometimes we confess our sins as soon as we wake up in the middle of the night. Okay, so those two doctrines are something that one could review. Bob may have taught on that over the years. So I just want to remind us all that when we go to bed in fellowship, it's quite likely we're going to sleep a whole lot better. And we're going to wake up in fellowship. Okay? Point two, God's Word as a living and powerful influence in the soul, Hebrews 4:12, which was read earlier, provides self-consciousness, or we'll call it ego, with a light viewpoint in order to avoid the darkness viewpoint of the sin nature and even of this world. That is Proverbs 6:23, Job 29:3, and Psalm 119:105. Point three, as long as we, the believers, allow God's Word to govern our decisions in life, we will continue to remain in fellowship with the Spirit, and we will not sin. The passage, 1 John 3:6. So we don't have to think that we can only go 5 minutes without sinning. It's using the techniques of the Christian way of life that enables us to win out over the temptations that either the world, the flesh, or the devil will try to attack us. And we all know that we've sung songs, "Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on." So if we don't wear that armor that Pastor Bob has taught about many times, we set ourselves up for failure. Number four, this is called, quote, abiding in Him. We all remember that from last year. And indicates a consistent conformity to God's viewpoint. Disciples are abiding in Him. So when we take the techniques of the Christian way of life, which we know those, but those things will be put on the internet. Bob taught on it that once a person becomes born again, there's at least 40 things that God gives every believer. And you can call it benefits of salvation, the assets of salvation. But if we don't know what those assets are, and we don't utilize them, we might get a kick, okay? And we have it all there available. We're in the age of grace. We're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And we are oh so fortunate to have a pastor that digs into the deep truth. But also, we need to take the basics of salvation and ask God the Father, "Father, this week, no, tomorrow, provide me with an opportunity to present Christ to someone. And we're in the business of recruiting, okay? And we've got the best message that's ever existed. You can have a relationship with God now. It's not heaven insurance. You're not believing that, you know, all you have to do is invite Jesus into your heart. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that. Nowhere. That's the result of believing. That's not the means. You with me? When we believe, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes into our heart. When we try to invite Jesus into our heart, we're doing the initiating. No. God has done all the initiating as it relates to His grace. And we get to respond. Now, if we want to reject grace in our life as a believer, we know that we're going to suffer discipline. God loves us. He treats us as our child. And for anyone here that can recall back when you were a child and your parents disciplined you, it hurt. And quicker you got in line, the better. But God wants us to take it to a higher level. We can obey the word and do the things that Scripture says for us to do out of the word obey or obedience. Or we can have the blessings of living a life that pleases God. That's taking everything to a higher level. You remember the days when you pleased your dad versus the days that you obeyed your dad. We have the ultimate Father in heaven. When our parents die, which my parents have died, my dad died on 9/9/2009. My mother died on November 30th, 2016. I was with my dad when he died. And you would, if you were there, you would have said there had to be angels in the room. Because Mom went over to him and said, "Hank, what are you seeing? What does it look like?" She asked him three times, like a determined wife will do, right? And three times Dad responded with, "Oh." Then she said, "Dean, what did Dad say?" I said, "Awesome." She went over and said, "Hank, what you're seeing, is it awesome?" He nodded his head. You know what happened 2 minutes later? Mother looked at me and said, "Daddy's gone." I said, "Mom, Dad just got promoted to heaven." And she said, "Lucky dog." Lucky dog, okay? The best, there's 2 days of your life. It's not the day you were born. It was the day that you were born again. Okay? That's the most important day as it relates to your relationship with God and your eternal destiny. Okay? Can you imagine having a relationship with a One who created the universe? Okay? I mean, we can accumulate gold and silver and coins and all the wealth of this world. And when we die, who does it go to? The next of kin or God knows who, all right? But when we trust in Christ as our Savior, as our King, as our Lord, He has, I think, 38 titles in the Bible. Who has 38 titles? Okay? So let's finish this and then I'll have Carol come up. Point five. We're on point five, right? We We've done four. But when you, the believer, chooses to disregard the divine viewpoint, influence of Bible truth in your soul, at that moment of time, you cease to abide in Christ and immediately come under the reigning authority and influence of the sin nature. The passage on that is James 1, 14 through 15, and Romans 6, verse 12. Listen, the functional reign of the sin nature in the believer's life interrupts the continuity of experientially knowing and focusing on Christ. Therefore, no communion and no rapport. You can have rapport with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's even better than anything that a husband and wife have. Okay? Without any of the irritation, without any of the conflict, even though you love one another. Okay? And as we master how to deal with the irritations and the feelings, and there's good material out there, and when you incorporate the doctrine that we know with some of the work that's been out there, such as feelings buried alive never die. Okay? Those feelings can lead us very quickly to where we feel like we're dying, and we don't have to. So, last point, beloved, sinless consistency is based on knowing God's word. Now, I believe in the Greek that's epinosis, if I recall. And there is no substitute for pursuing all that God has made available to us through his word. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is the short version of sinless consistency. There's a very long version, and it's extremely good. But reducing it to something that we can just take the most important points. It's sort of like learning in the business world. We'll spend hours and hours and months to learn something about how to make money, right? We have the opportunity to learn on a daily basis how to be prepared for life, prepared for the battles, prepared for the temptations, and prepared for heaven. Because how we live today and tomorrow and the next day also have some other things associated that are really good. God looks out for us. As in Romans 8:28, where it says, we know the passage, I think, right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who are, ready, loving God and are called according to his purpose. When we're out of fellowship, are we loving God? Okay? But when we get into sinless consistency, we're getting into that dynasphere that God works all these things together for good. And there's the one thing that that we all have heard, I'm trying to think of the verse, but redeeming the time for the days are evil. God redeems time for us when we're walking in the Spirit and loving God. And then you can go to the ECS. You know, Pastor Thiem taught on that. Edification complex of the soul. It's a technical term. But we can go through overlapping phases of growth where we go from grace orientation to a relaxed mental attitude, which is sort of the mastery of the details of life. A relaxed mental attitude, agape love. And I think I may have just left out one or got them reversed. But the last one is the happiness of God. God is the one who enables us to share his happiness with others, no matter what the circumstances. If you were in Ukraine right now, if you are functioning as a believer, you can actually be sharing God's happiness in time of war, in time of death. I talked with, I just went blank to his name for a moment, but you all know him, Jim Myers. We had a good talk for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half the other day. And he, being a pastor over there for 30 years and involved with the churches, he gave me a lot of information, and he has some good things on his website. So that's another one I would add to the list. I think we have it outside there, his website, just to be in tune with what's going on over there so we would know how to pray for them. Okay? Carol, would you come forward for a moment? Sometimes you can have a story that will communicate. There's times that the story can be reduced, and I'm probably not going to reduce it unless I forget part of it. But it's a story that I started to tell, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago at least. And we'll just go through it, and when we're all done, then you can judge the value of it for you. But remember, the content can be reduced to 30 seconds. So you can learn how to reduce the content of this story, which I have found to be very valuable in evangelism, especially when you're on an airplane and you've got the 7 or 8 minutes to tell the story. This time we'll see how fast we can do it. Time us, okay? Carol, you asked the other day about the story of the two kings, and you wanted to hear it. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it starts with once upon a time. Is that all right?
Most good stories do.
Okay. Once upon a time, there were two kings. The first king lived 2,350 years ago. True story. He became the king when he was 20. His dad had been the king, so what happened to his dad?
He died.
Put your mic up.
I can hear.
He died. That's true. His dad died. In fact, he was assassinated. That's what they did back then. We don't see as much of that anymore. So his dad was assassinated. He's the king, and you know this young king now. He's 20 years old. But he was known as to be the Chuck Norris and the Bruce Lee of his day. He was a professional at fighting and killing at 16, 17 years old. So he's the king. He gets together with his dad's generals. Now, his dad's generals would respect him, right?
Yeah.
He's a professional.
He probably knows them all.
He knows them all. Yeah, they like him, in fact. So he said to himself, I can't conquer the world with 4 generals that all handle a different part of the country where they all speak a different dialect of Greek. So he said, I'm a genius. I can fix this problem. That's a man for you, right? He can fix it. So he did. He reduced all 4 Greek dialects into 1 common Greek language called?
Yeah, Koine
Greek. Koine Greek, right? Koine Greek. Now, he proceeded to conquer the world. That was his goal. He wanted it all. And when he went ahead and started killing lots of people, okay, with lots of troops, who did he really tick off?
Their parents.
Yeah, but who else? The wives and the kids, right? And we know him as Alexander the
Great.
What was great about him? He was Alexander the Widowmaker, just like what's going on in the world today. They're making lots of widows and orphans. It doesn't make any sense, but out of stinking thinking, greed, whatever it may be, it doesn't work. So he's got all these women who would love to kill him, but now they need food, and they use supply chains. But bottom line is he keeps marching, and they keep killing, and he makes it all the way to India. Okay, all the way to India, where he was stabbed, nearly died, had a, what the textbooks say was a miraculous recovery. And he made it all the way back home to the city they named after him, which would be
Alexandria,
not Virginia, but Egypt, right? Okay, I've been to one, but not Egypt. So here he is, he's back home. He becomes a party boy. He parties it up. And he died as a party boy at 32 years in 10 or 11 months. And he never conquered his three greatest enemies. Now the second king came along about 325 years later, and this king was noted for having a unique beginning. And throughout this second king's life, he just didn't seem to screw up like all the other kings. Isn't that something? So, as an adult, this second king said, well, his enemies. And they didn't like him because he was such a good person. And they came to him and said, we don't like you. We don't like you for who you are, what you stand for. We're going to get you. Well, one night they came and got this second king. And they hauled him into court, and they tried him illegally at night. And in every single trial, he was declared innocent. And the next day, these people who were really, really smart, they were really ticked off. They were ticked. Okay? But one of them, about 6 a.m. in the morning, had to say, wait a minute, guys. We have this law that allows us to go before the king once or twice a year and ask him pretty much anything we want. So they got all excited. They went back and caught the king before he got into bed. And the king looked at him and basically said, I don't like this deal, guys. But you got what you want. Go do what you're going to do. And he approved it.
But I thought the king was the guy they wanted to kill.
Rephrase the question.
They went to talk to the king, but you said the king was the guy they were going to kill.
Oh, we're talking about two different kings.
Okay.
Remember king number two? King number two and king number one, and then the other king. I'll clarify that in the future. Good point. Okay? So, what did they do? They took this king and they put him on a stake. They had him done in Roman style, right? True story. Interesting thing about this king, nobody could kill him. Nobody could kill him. But right before he died, he only said one word. Guess what that word was? Tetelestai. 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 And people will say, what does that mean? I said, well, give me a second. What happened is more important, right? God the Father in heaven took Alexander the Great's sins, Hitler's sins, my sins. Of course, you never sin, right? No? Everybody I've ever told this story to, and it's a lot of people, even groups of people, whether they're atheists, Mormons, Baptists, Catholic, whatever the background is in church, everybody admits that they screw up. They may not use the word sin. That's the reason why I said NIS backwards, okay? Especially when you're on an airline flight or talking to someone when other people are listening. But you get on airline flights and people will ask. They'll say, hey, thank you for talking to that guy. You know, happens all the time. People listen in on conversations on airlines. They really do. So the important thing is this. When we believe in Christ, that he paid our debt, it doesn't matter who we are. It could be Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Bezos, and what do they own? Half a trillion dollars. That money will never get you to heaven. Faith in Christ alone will allow a 10-year-old or a 93-year-old go to heaven. My grandfather, on the third visit over a period of 6 months, 4 years after he had a stroke and was in bed, a wonderful grandfather. He believed in Christ on Columbus Day, 1992, the anniversary, 500 years. It was the best day of his life. The next 3 years, he went to chapel. It was amazing what he did learn. And he even learned a few Bible verses. So it is, the important part of it is this. There were two deaths that occurred at the cross. You can go ahead and go back if you want. The two deaths was when God the Father judged the sins of the world on Christ in 3 hours. That was the only time that Jesus was separated from God the Father in terms of that time window. 3 hours of the judgment of the sins of the world on his humanity. Okay? That's proof that he was God. Right? Could you or I or anyone else in this world have the sins of the world judged on us without us going out of our mind? And Christ only said one word when it was all done. Tetelestai, debt paid in full. Let's get that word out and then be able to explain it, because two of the five most important words in the Bible are grace, for by grace you are saved through faith. The object is what's important. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man become arrogant. All the religions of the world hate Christianity because of one word. You can amplify it, you can shrink it. It's the grace of God. You can't, there's no substitute in this world for the grace of God. Robert and I would have in common, we have far more information to deliver than what we can do in 1 hour. But I'd like to leave you with something that you can even listen to this a few times and learn the song. And we'll end the evening with this. Know the Word, so the Word is your life. Train to serve when your nation sees strife. Be sure in the midst of confusion. Fight on when the battle seems lost. Have friends, but depend on the Lord. Have details, but be master of them. Have your mind always cycling God's truth, so nothing in life gets you down. Thy word is a lamp, a light to my way, my song in the darkness, my fortress by day. Christ laid down his soul to redeem from the fall. Let's redeem all the time that he gives by the Spirit's control. And I know when promoted to live in a heavenly place, that my God will approve of the work, for it was all by grace. And the angels will see God was fair to condemn all those rejecting Christ. Christ shall win in the angelic conflict. We shall reign with the King evermore. I'm just going to point out a few things here. We didn't use the overhead. I'll get more skilled at it, and then we'll speed this up next time. But Robert gave these out the other day. It will be probably on the internet site in the future. Maybe a little bit revised, I'm not sure, but it'll something like it. The points that I like to use, I may be missing a couple of them, but the ones to know in terms of salvation and new believers, I would say it's number one, number three. You may pick out some different ones. Number nine, number 14, the believer is guaranteed a heavenly citizenship based on our reconciliation. Wow, that's incredible. Number 18, 20, 21, 22, 23, every believer is within the much more grace care of God. 29, the believer is united with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which when I was a kid, I thought I was just indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And then later on, I found out I was also indwelled by Christ. And then I found out later on after that, in my late 20s, somewhere in my 20s, oh, it's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Number 34 and number 40. Number 40 uses the 10 problem-solving devices that every believer has. You know, the first one is rebound, 1 John 1:9, confessing sin biblically. We're the only ones that when we sin, we can confess our sins and instantly have fellowship with God the Father. Instantly. And from there, we can be diligent because we have that power. We don't have to be arrogant. What we didn't get to tonight was humility. You know, there's a salvation humility that occurs right around the time of a person getting saved. There's a doctrine on it. It's available on the internet. Pastor Bob may have something again as it relates to that too. I've been gone, but it's really been good to be back here. Filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, the personal love for God, and personal love for all mankind, sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Christ. If you notice, some of these points were part of the edification complex of the soul. But these are the things that we can use as a checklist. But to know this and to have a new believer or even someone who's thinking about getting born again, you can take your cell phone, okay, and read all of these, and by using your cell phone, you can get all through all of this in 3 or 4 hours or less. Depends on how good you are at it. There is 212, approximately, Bible verses associated with these 40 points. Okay? Now, you can read all 40 of them pretty fast, but it's reading the text of the Scripture which is what's really important, because when we read it, then you have the opportunity to believe it. And as a born-again believer, what we take in is gnosis, kenosis, epinosis. Okay? That's what we believe. And in a divine way, God the Father transfers that information to our heart, which ends up becoming wisdom and oida. Okay, those are the five Greek words. Wisdom is something we all need. Oida is the ability to take that and apply it in the world in which we live. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can be here this evening. For anyone here or for anyone listening on the internet airwaves today or in the future, we want to make the gospel clear. that Jesus Christ was the only person who lived and was sinless. He was God and man in the flesh, and he died on the cross for our sins. And by faith in him alone, we have eternal life. And we have a relationship with you that is priceless. We thank you for that. We thank you for who you are and the provisions that you make for us in time and eternity. We pray this in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everyone said, Amen.